Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor J. Aparicio here, always bringing the heat and the noise and all the good news here at 1570 AM WNST. Nestor, welcome in.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How about you? The spring is in the air and great weather here in Baltimore. We got crab cakes. We got baseball. What kind of great stuff happening?
Well, sort of a weird time of the year, right? I mean, we're waiting on the draft. It's been the weirdest Ravens offseason since Ray Rice. I mean, at the very least, right? We could say that. And the OBJ thing happens, and we still have no clue on Lamar. I mean, I sense that the Ravens are not in any way motivated to give him more than 32 point, whatever that was. And the Lamar thing's sort of backburnered, right? They're going to welcome Odell Beckham to town. They're not going to have any questions about Lamar because we can't have that. How the hell are they going to have a press conference? I mean, I'm being honest with you.
They're going to, based on the last press conference they had, the one you had named many years ago, the Liars Luncheon, maybe they'll qualify their questions again. They'll tell the press, look, you can ask anything you want as long as it's not about the quarterback position and Lamar Jackson. So looking forward to see what the rhetoric is going to be today.
Well, I mean, there's rhetoric and then there's the reality, right? The reality is this kid's pinched now and has to go play for $32 million a year after we told him not to play for $23 million, right? Like, so as days go by, and the amazing thing about this, and I keep going back to this, and I sort of realized this at some point 3-4 weeks ago when you've already bought the ticket and you're inside and you realize, oh, I got taken advantage of. I bought the buffet and, I didn't get, and there's an upcharge or whatever the deal would be.
Yeah.
But in the case of Lamar Jackson, not having an agent, not having this plotted out, not having someone professional next to him when he won the MVP a couple of years ago, so that he'd have $120 million in the bank already, and yeah, he'd be where Revis was or where Sam Bradford was or any of the, quite frankly, where Odell Beckham Jr. is, which is getting fresh money every year off of a reputation from 3 years ago, which the National Football League's willing to do. I mean, Eric DaCosta and Steve Bisciotti gave this guy $15 million when no one else was, everybody else was wait and see, and we'll see, and let's wait for the draft. This is kind of an astonishing decision this week. And if this guy doesn't catch 80 balls and they're not playing ball in January, then why did they spend $15 million on it?
Because he knows Todd Monken's offense from 2019 when he had a great year, a great season. He caught 1,000 yards worth of balls, right?
I had a great year in 2019. It was a plague and two back in injuries ago. And right.
What's fascinating to me is I have friends of mine who are like, well, they outfoxed the Jets. And also Beckham says a condition of him coming to Baltimore was that Lamar Jackson would be his quarterback. That's ridiculous. The Jets were sniffing around. They weren't going to pay him $15 million guaranteed. He came to Baltimore. He's coming to Baltimore because of one thing, money. I don't think he cares who the quarterback is. Now, he may be tweeting out on social media. He may be hugging Lamar Jackson. But you know what? There are 15 million reasons why Odell Beckham Jr. came to Baltimore and nothing else.
Yeah, and what about Bisciotti getting on the phone with him made this happen?
Man.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't fathom.
I don't think
it's one of these larger-than-life personalities that Harbaugh's never really wanted a part of.
But I don't think he needed to. $15 million is what got the man's attention. Listen, Odell Beckham, I'm his agent. You can play with Aaron Rodgers, in New York for $4 million a year or maybe $5 million a year, or you go to Baltimore, regardless of who the quarterback is, and make $15 million. I don't know about you, but I know what I'm doing.
Why did the Ravens do this deal?
Because they had to.
Does this really get Lamar to play for $32
million? It may get him to, look, he's a unique guy. It may get him to show up. How about that? It may get him to show up in September, maybe. This is fascinating stuff, Bess. They have, what, OTAs the 17th of the month? I mean, come on, it's a few days away from now. You got the draft coming up. I think we may have some clarity here going forward. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. But
I'm waiting on the WNST text from Coons Baltimore Ford and Luke to, like the papal smoke. You know what I mean? I'm waiting for whatever to happen.
Okay.
But I certainly was not.
I've been waiting for 2 years. We've been waiting for two. Is the smoke? Do they need to refresh the smoke box? I mean, is it damp? Right? Will it actually work, or are we going to get more of the sameness?
I've been doing this a long time. I don't really understand what the Ravens were doing with this. You know, I mean, if this is, if they're trying to kiss the kid's ass and make him play football, they can pay him money, right? Like, do they really love Lamar? Because it hasn't felt like to you and me like they
No.
love Lamar.
But
Like,
why leak out the Steve Bisciotti angle? For what? For what reason?
I don't know. That was Odell Beckham that leaked that out. He
Okay,
leaked that
gotcha.
to Josina Anderson.
Oh, gotcha. That's right. That's
Josina
right.
Anderson's not talking to Steve Bisciotti. She's talking to Odell Beckham.
Gotcha. So Steve's been quiet all along still. Nothing from Steve.
There's not going to be anything from Steve. Have you met his PR director?
Enough, but I've seen the way he treated you. That's enough for me.
Well, you see
I
how
don't
he
need
treated the whole room
Look,
last week.
I don't need to meet him. I just don't need to meet him. How about that? I don't
But
need to meet him.
if you're asking where Steve Bisciotti is, you have to ask, unless you have Steve's number, which I do, and Chad didn't realize I did. But you have to go through Chad Steele to get to Steve Bisciotti. So Steve Bisciotti talking is someone saying they talk to Steve Bisciotti. It's not Steve talking.
Gotcha.
And in the case of Odell Beckham Jr., why would Steve be on the phone with? I just and why would
I don't
Steve give him
understand that either.
$15 million?
Yeah, he
And
didn't
why
need
would
to.
John and Eric say, Steve, if we want to win the Super Bowl this year, we need Odell Beckham at $15 million. And why would Todd Monken, who's new in the building, walk down the hallway and say, yeah, I need OBJ. That guy's going to wake our room up. That guy's going to be a difference maker. I don't know if he can play. He's 31 years old, but he's going to be the right guy for us. We need to invest $15 million. Pay him like he's going to catch 90 balls in this offense. All of it's curious because I'm not convinced that Lamar Jackson's ever going to throw the ball 450 times in a season. I'm not convinced that he's ever not going to run the ball
Okay.
200 times in a season for them to be successful. I'm really not. I'm not convinced that he's going to be a drop back quarterback that runs 4 to 6 times a game.
Okay.
And I don't think he wants to be that guy, and I don't think that that plays to his skill set, and I don't think that's his path to getting $200 million is chucking the ball around.
All right. Of course, we all recall what Steve Bisciotti made the statement that he's not sure that Deshaun Watson should have been the first player in NFL history to be given a fully guaranteed contract. In that vein, I'm not so sure that Odell Beckham Jr. is the wide receiver the Ravens should have given that kind of a contract to either, with all due respect to the handful of receivers that are still out there. But it was a splash move. It was indication that they're willing to invest in the wide receiver room. It's an effort to get better. It's a high risk, high reward type of a mood nest. And I also think it takes a spotlight and the heat off of the Lamar Jackson situation. It's like they took a laser pointer, a very expensive laser pointer, and shot it in the opposite direction.
None of that means anything if they feel good on the field and play in September. I mean, all of this, me talking and Chad Steele not talking and Jeff Zrebec being told he can't ask questions and like all of that, none of that matters. They have to go out and play football in September. And what's going to be on the field? What's it going to look like? How's the cake going to bake? Who's going to be motivated? Who's actually going to be here? And how motivated is Lamar Jackson going to be? Probably part of this to Lamar. And again, man, no offense to Lamar. But like whatever they're pitching to him must be pretty sophomoric. You know what I mean? They're not playing chess with him. They're playing checkers with him because he's playing checkers with them.
No,
I don't think he
I don't
knows how to play
disagree.
chess,
No,
right?
he you need he needs an agent.
So
I
saying to Lamar, hey, we got your bright shiny object here. This is your path to get paid, pal. We're going to throw the ball. We're going to throw everything you want to do. You're under contract. You can't go anywhere. So you're indentured. Come on in and play for your $2 million a week and throw the ball to him. And then once you throw the ball to him, that's how you're going to get $250 million. Because we know you don't want to be here because you asked for a trade. So if you want to be next year, if you don't want to be here and you're 26 and you want that 5-year, $300 million deal, OBJ is the guy that's going to bring you the parade, Lamar. So come on back. You know, we didn't give you the money. We
You
gave him the money so
never
you can
listen.
get the money.
Well, because he can. I mean, they've taken advantage of him, and he's allowed to be taken advantage of the last 5 years. They've had him on the cheap. They've had an MVP quarterback, a guy who had MVP season back in 2019. They've had him on the cheap. They haven't had to pay him, and it's his fault because he's allowed that. Now, a quarter century ago, Nestor, I realized and recognized that I need to get great people around me. I need a great accountant, a great lawyer, a great doctor, right? My team, people smarter than me in different fields. Lamar Jackson hasn't recognized that. His group hasn't, the people around him haven't recognized the need for an NFL agent. Because if he gets an agent, this whole thing comes together one way or another very quickly.
It would have been done. He would be enjoying his offseason, getting ready to play. He'd have 85 or $95 million in the bank. He'd be playing for a $46 million
Okay.
contract this year. Nobody
Uncle.
would be talking about money. He would be attaboying them for going and getting him a wide
Sure.
receiver. Like, and this thing would smell better than it smells.
He had a brand new car. It was brand new, smelled new, looked new, and now he's driven down that road and rocks have come up and hit the car on the side. It's got dents and scratches, and this is where we are today. Now it's a mess. It's a hot mess. And again, I think
The
you're right.
car's been in the shop 2 years during the
That's
playoffs.
the other piece too. Now, whether they sign him or not, whether he shows up or not, they need a capable backup, a quarterback capable beating the Cincinnati Bengals on the road, because Tyler Huntley showed us he's not the guy. If he was the guy, he would have made that play on the goal line. Instead, he contributed to a 14-point swing. So they still need a quarterback, not named Tyler Huntley, to back up Lamar Jackson, or perhaps even start in the case whether Lamar is there or not in December, because like you said, he hasn't been there the last 2 years.
Well, I think Chad Steele felt like they needed a happy press conference. So they're having this happy press conference with OBJ. This is almost misguided to some degree, right? Like coming out with the happy face, unless Lamar signed, and I'm waiting on that text. And but the OBJ Lamar Loveathon on Instagram and
Right. You just crashed and burned the head coach's press conference. You just crashed and burned and said, I demanded a trade March 2nd, and you're on social media having a love fest with OBJ. Why is a question I have. If you're negotiating with the Ravens and other NFL teams, why would you do that? I mean, the
I
optics
don't.
are, if you and I were the agent, we would have said, listen, this is great for the Ravens, but it doesn't move the needle for us. Where's Lamar's money? It does. It's not impressive for Lamar Jackson. Great. You may have improved your team. And by the way, you gave him, you talk about his injuries. You just gave a guy a boatload of money that's had two ACLs. Lamar said one ACL, so, or PCL, whatever you want to call it. So what's the difference? Why is he getting his bag? Why can't my player? That would have, I would have stuck it right back at him. I would have used this to squeeze him for more
You're
money.
giving him my money.
You're giving him my money. Thank you. So
Right.
again, this young man needs somebody other, whoever's advising him, he
But
needs
you
somebody
keep
else.
saying that, but you've met this kid, right? And you've never met this kid. This kid's got $30 million in the bank. He's not some troubled young
Oh, no, of
kid
course
who
not.
is not thinking. He's never had life experience and he's never had quality people around him. It's never been allowed. And I keep going back to this thing with his mother and him that, and listen, I'm from the streets of Dundalk. I don't trust anybody either. But there comes a point where you put 12 Drew Rosenhauses in front of you
Yep.
and you find the right situation or you meet all 12 of them and you decide agents are scumbags. I don't want any of them. And I've done that in my life too, right? I mean, I've had bad financial advisors. I've had bad people sell me cars back when I was a young
Of
guy, right?
course,
Like
of
we've
course.
all had bad experiences through life. But then there comes a point where you're like, all right, because I had a bad experience with the dentist on Eastern Avenue in 1975, I'm never going to have a dentist again. Like I don't, that's a life trap,
It
really.
is.
And I
It
think
is.
once you're 26 years old and you got $30 million, nobody we're talking to in this audience has as much money as Lamar Jackson
No,
today.
very true.
So he's already smarter than all of us. He's already won life. He's got more
He
money than any of
has.
us. And he would say that. And he would say, I did it my way. And I'll show you I'll do it the other way because he's been doing it this way. So I don't think there's any. Dennis, I want to. Can I change topics onto the Orioles for just one second? Because I
Absolutely.
really thought about this the other day. When I did Free the Bird, by the way, I met Mike Elias this week. So I want you to ask me about that because I haven't talked about that on the air all week.
Okay.
Leonard Raskin had an event. But I met Mike Elias this week, and I've been thinking more baseball this week, right? And thinking about, because I'm watching baseball this more than the Ravens because they're not playing this week, right? And I started thinking about my feelings because I'm re-releasing the Peter Principles next week. So if you haven't read it and it's long and chunky, it's the Peter Angelo story. It's not first person. It's not my story. It's a third person. It's after I wrote Purple Rain 2, Adam Jones and I ran into each other and he asked me, what's the story with the old man? He asked me that out on the
You said,
field.
read the book.
And I wrote a book for him. I went to Tahiti and I
Okay.
started to write a book in the summer of 13. Then my wife got cancer and I stopped writing the book. 6 months later. But for 6 months, from July of 13, because the Ravens book was out, until February of 14, I was immersed. I wasn't on the radio yet. I wasn't back on the radio. I still had the staff and all that. My wife hadn't had cancer. We had won the Super Bowl and we're pimping the books, right? We're going to Denver to open a season. That's what, instead of opening the season here. So it was 10 years ago. And Adam Jones said to me, why's the old man hate you so much? That's what he said to me. And he's playing catch out on the field at Citi Field, and I'm at the All-Star game. And he literally wanted me in 45 seconds to – so I wrote this Peter Principles for him. And I really thought about my background, and I was 37 years, 38 years old when I did Free the Birds. I was a grown-ass man. This was not a pig trick. This wasn't a kid trick. This wasn't a skit. This wasn't me running through the streets in my underwear for – the Free the Birds thing was a very, very – literal way of me telling Peter Angelos, you're wrong, and I'm going to put people together to tell you that the way you're doing things is wrong. Dennis, I was a fool, right? Like, not about getting thrown. I don't care about any of that. But I really thought that I could sway a nasty, angry 75-year-old, old Greek, old world billionaire to think about things maybe a little different civically in regard to the city and in regard to his children and in regard to his legacy and in regard to happiness and in regard to him being able to walk the streets a hero, which all is, he bought the team wanting to be a hero. In his own mind, he's a hero. Because when he talked about himself, he died a hero. He's eating pudding a hero right now in his mind. Not in reality, right? And I thought in 06 there could be some sort of a wake up in doing it that I could sway like an Ebenezer Scrooge thing. Like that you could, like in the movies, change a man's heart.
I could have saved you some time.
I didn't know you well enough then. And I felt like I needed to do it. And one of the most proud things I've ever done is try to recruit a city to do something important, you know? And here we are. 17 years later, I'm still bagged out. They've made $1 billion since then. Everybody has just given them money, and all they've done is take it. And now John Boy's out doing his thing, parading around, waving, doing the papal wave, and they've won nothing. And they're 500 again this week, right? So, like,
at least he's visible. At least he's getting out, and at least you see him at the stadium. He's smoozing with people. At least there's a face now with the Orioles in terms of ownership.
And he's, the first words out of his mouth were lies, lack of accountability. Okay.
But at least he's out there.
Okay.
Give him a little, I'm trying to give him a little credit here. I'm giving him a little credit.
DJ Brightman fist bumped me the other day, and I didn't say a word to him. But I'm going to be out loud now about how there were 4,000 people at the ballpark on Wednesday night. And there were only 12,000. They announced 12,000 with Grayson. It looked more like 9 or 10. But they're as hopeless as they've ever been in regard to selling what they've got. Like, I mean, literally,
opening day was nice. I mean, I was part of their biggest
crowd
since 2018.
I was there too, but when are you going back?
Soon, I hope. Yeah, I'd like to go back soon.
If you and I start going back soon, then they've done the right thing, right?
I had a great time. I like all the new changes with baseball, with all the new rules. I like the players. But tell me about Mike Elias. I want to know about your meeting.
No. I want to bring this Angelos thing to Lamar.
Okay, go ahead.
So here I was as a 38-year-old man believing that I could use a radio station and 50,000 people to – tell Peter, and all he did was call the SWAT team and was trying to put me in jail, right? So 17 years later, they have $1 billion. I've learned my lesson, right? But my lesson in this is my lesson to you, which is, you think Lamar Jackson's going to change now? He's got $30 million in the bank. He's online to make $32 million more this year. The fact that he doesn't have $150 million in the bank, that's not his fault. That's Steve's fault for not recognizing his talents.
He wants to be a billionaire, and he's got a plan of getting there, I would think. I don't know.
Not a very good plan, according to people.
Leaving money on the table at the peak of your career is not a good strategy for becoming a billionaire. That's what I can tell you.
I just don't think that people change much. What's they say the hardest thing in the world is change people, right? It's way harder to change them once they're comfortable.
It's hard to change yourself, but at some point you need professionals around you. I get people all the time that come here and the referrals and like, okay, sell me a car. And I tell them, you don't want me selling you a car. I have people on the front line who know more about the car. It's like, I feel like I'm the owner of a airplane company, but you don't want me flying the plane. I have a different skill set. And that's what I tell folks. Everybody's got a different skill set. And so Lamar Jackson's skill
My
set is,
dentist doesn't clean my teeth. He's
right.
not a he, right? He's not a dental hygienist, right?
Correct, correct.
Literally,
That's
right.
not his skill set. Got a different skill set, and he will probably do it if he needed to, but he doesn't have to. That's not his skill set. That's not what he get paid for. So, in life, we need the best professionals to take care of us. You surround yourself with your team that helps you get through life. People that add to you, not take away from you.
But I my point on the Angelus thing was it's hard to change people. So,
Oh,
Mike Elias,
you can't change yourself. Never mind. We can't change ourselves. You can't change a stubborn old Greek. I'm 59. You couldn't have, you at 38, you couldn't have changed me.
okay. I mean, I understand that. So, what's going to
Look,
change
look
Lamar
at the movie.
Jackson?
Look at the movie 300, right? Give me your weapons. Leonidas said, come get them. You said to Angelos, sell your team. He said, come get it. I mean, that's the way it goes. It's the culture, man. That blood is very hot. Firsthand, I can tell you that it's the hottest blood in the world.
Oh.
You haven't seen stubborn.
17 years later, his boys are fighting while he's
Listen,
eating pudding over his money in front of the world, airing their laundry. So,
you
it's
haven't
been
seen
a
stubborn.
successful operation financially, but legacy-wise, it hasn't been a successful operation. And I guess for Lamar Jackson, it's been a successful operation. He's got $30 million. He's got a statue
Oh,
in
listen,
Louisville, right?
he'll have 60 at the end of this year, 66 maybe. Whereas Josh Allen will have about a $153. That's excluding endorsements for other player. And I can guarantee you that Josh Allen's endorsements in Buffalo particularly are through the roof versus what Lamar Jackson's
I
had.
know they are because I landed at the Buffalo airport. I went to Toronto
So,
back in November. He's on every billboard. He's selling cheese, pasta, cars,
there
bars,
you go.
guitars. He's selling it all.
Glad you share that. So the difference between those two right now is $100 million. And they were both first round draft picks. Now, we know Lamar got drafted 32nd overall, but
Lamar
still,
outplayed him.
he's outplayed him. He outplayed him initially. The last couple of years, Josh has bridged the gap and then some. But my point is he's not worth the $100 million the first 5 years than Lamar Jackson.
There's no question about that. And this is again, Steve and Eric have gotten over on him.
Oh, they
So
played him. He's
by
been
the whole
played.
idea of him not having an agent was that he was afraid Drew Rosenhaus was going to rip him off, right? And in the end, he got ripped off. He got
He
ripped
ripped
off
himself
badly.
off. He ripped himself off. He ripped himself off. He had a fool for a client as a self-proclaimed agent. He really did. And that he left a ton of money on the table. And this latest thing of the latest signing with Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, the Ravens potentially they made the wide receiver room better, potentially.
How is it that we are a month into this and you and I are now we're convinced he's going to play for $32 million and come back with his tail between his legs and just say, I asked for a trade, but I didn't really want a trade. I'm Raven. I'm purple. You know what I mean? Like, how does he come back after
I
all
don't
of this
know. I
and
don't
come
know.
back and play for what would be league minimum,
Listen,
really?
the entire gym sales are up. He sold four this week, so he's doing well at $6.99 a piece. So his net profit was about, $800, whatever you want to call it. So he's
Mike
making.
Elias, I got to give you the Mike Elias story because I'm going to forget it because
Come on.
we're gonna. So I got invited to the CEO luncheon, Baltimore CEO Club. It's up in Hayfield. It's Monday. Elias did this like 5 years ago when he first got the job, and I was going to go that day, and for whatever reason I didn't go. It was years ago, and he showed up on the docket a month ago, and I kind of wanted to go and hear him out, whatever. And I went, and he was actually very polite to me. Absolutely knew who I was. You know how I knew he knew who I was? He said to me, "Oh, I know who you are."
That was your first clue.
That's my clue.
You're a smart guy. See that us East Baltimore guys are pretty quick on our feet.
Well, he'll never forget me because I gave him two copies of Purple Rain 1 and 2. And I said to him, I wrote this book with Eric. I wrote this book with Marvin and with Brian and with David Modell. I said, these are the last two championships in the city. They're really about how the championships were built. They're not football books, they're business books. And he said, thank you very much. And I shook my hand. He's like, Aparicio, are you related to Louie? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I remember when he was with the Red Sox. And I said, oh, really? Well, I said, he was with the Orioles in 66. That's how I got here. He's like, he played for the Orioles? And I'm like, yeah, he was on the 60s. There was Boog and Brooks and Louis and Palmer. And he's like, oh, it's before my time. And he was polite about it, but like, not, he didn't want me to be offended in any way. And I wasn't. I'm like, you don't need to know the 66 Orioles, but you run the Orioles. And I'm thinking, so he was very polite to me. And I said, Peter hasn't had me around in 17 years. I let it walk out. He's like, oh, I know who you are. And he gave me a big smile and he took my books and he threw me an email and he's very polite. And I was very, very impressed with him in the room. I was impressed with him on the stage. I'm impressed with his intellect.
That's
I
good.
f I felt like he had authenticity about him. I felt like he wasn't full of ish. And
Okay.
I felt like he's a really smart guy. Obviously, Yale, like all that running the team. But I feel like there's some humanity in him
That's
that I
good.
have seen lacking from other, and I've been around all 32 of the football guys every year, right? Like Eric doesn't have this anymore. If Eric walked into a room with me, Eric's a different human being than he was the first, like literally. Like it is the money, the job, the privacy, the scrutiny has changed Eric DaCosta. Eric DaCosta is a different human. He treats me differently before I was thrown out. When he got the job, it's, I don't know. When you're the parts manager or the assistant manager, you become the manager, you become the sales guy. Do you really treat people differently? I don't know. Elias for me struck me as authentic. And that's a good thing because it's my first entree
Well,
and
good.
my DNA, all of my radar said, that's a good guy. The Orioles are lucky to get that guy. They must have
Very
paid him
good.
a lot of money. And I asked him a question and they didn't want to give me a question because they were afraid I was going to be an a-hole. Which I'm 55 years old. I'm out at lunch. I'm with CEOs. Why am I going to accost Mike Elias? By the way, the questions in the room were the nasty questions that I would have been thrown out for asking. He got asked five or six, like, is the team moving? Stuff that I never would have asked him. He got asked, why didn't you spend more money? And you're like, flat. Like, not nice, not fanboy calling Rex Barney. This is everybody in a suit and tie saying, you guys played well last year. Why didn't you buy some pitchers? You know what I mean? And some of it was, why'd you send Kyle Stoughton down today? You know, real baseball call stuff. My question for him, and this, and I wanted him to speak about it as a leader, like the way you and I talk about leading things. And it was a C-level event. And I said to him, you took this gig 5 years ago. You could have had a job any. I mean, you could have held on for a Yankee job or a job where you had a $200 million payroll. I said, it seems to me like you were seeking out an opportunity where they didn't have a scouting system, they didn't have Latin, they didn't have internet, they didn't have any of that. That you could literally almost like an expansion team start your own thing. And he took off on that and talked about that. And I
Well,
thought
good.
that that's what I wanted to know about, which was building something, right? I mean, Mr. Koontz comes to you and says, we're going to put a new dealership somewhere else and we're going to put our name on it. We're going to start with the bricks. You'd have a hell of an idea how to build it up as opposed to, hey, we got this place in Security Boulevard. It's been there 50 years. Come take it over. It's old bricks. It's old. You have your own people, like all of that. I said to everybody in the room, I said, a turnaround. We're all old enough. Everybody in there was silver hair. I was one of the younger guys in the room. I said, everybody in this room has turned their business, flipped their business, rethought their business, had to restructure their business, had to regroup and redo something, have a 2.0, 3.0, whatever it is. This guy signed up to do it in the worst place ever, right? Against the toughest competition. That to me says he's a hill charger, no matter what they're paying. I mean, I'm sure they paid him top of class, but you know, Mike Elias won me over as a human being by being in the room with me once. He's been here 5 years. They've denied me the opportunity to be in the room with him and go on the air and say good things about him, right? I can still say good things about people too when I believe them. And I can say bad things about people like Eric DaCosta when I see over 25 years that they go from treating me like a human, not like a family member or friend, like a human, and then going and treating me like I'm one of them, whatever them is. And it's offensive to me. And
Well,
Mike Elias was polite to me and didn't have to be, and wrote me
again.
a thank you note. And I don't need any more from him, you know, literally.
But that was nice. That was very classy of him. At least there's somebody in the organization, and it just also showed you how fair of a person you are. When things are going well, you're gonna give him credit, and when things aren't going well, you're gonna call him out. I think that's fair, and I'm glad that you were.
Accountability is with my job here, you
And
know?
I'm glad that you had your time with Elias, and it's great to hear such positive feedback.
didn't have time with him. Time with him. I'm a professional, Dennis. He should be having coffee with me twice a year and talking about things.
Well,
And
he should be, but again, you do have a history with the Orioles here, so they're not going to invite you out for coffee.
They had 4,000 people in their bowl the other night. You know what I mean? Like,
Could have had
my
4,000
listeners are
all.
on, still here. The ones that hate me come longer and write nasty things about me and say they saw a cockroach in my restaurants. And, you know, like, they're all still there. Nobody's – I'm still here, and your place
Yeah.
is empty.
Yeah.
I help me help you,
Yeah, I hear
you know?
You. I hear
so,
you. I hear you.
It is
Look.
What it is.
All
But
right,
I'm a
listen.
bad guy, Dan. We all know that.
Hey, someone's got to wear the black hat around here. But listen,
I'm a troublemaker.
I appreciate you and your insight and your thoughts and your intellect. Appreciate the time on our show.
By the way, last thing I never said to Elias, and I do want to say this out loud, and I didn't say this to him, but I did say it to Duquette at one point, which was the reason I did the walkout is so that they would get somebody competent like you in here to run the place.
Okay, there you go.
You know what I mean? That's the truth. I did that walkout so we could win again. That was the idea. Yeah, the idea wasn't to burn Peter's house or Johnny Boy or Lou. The idea was the city is struggling. Are you a part of this? And 17 years later, I would still ask that question. I really
The
would.
City's struggling now more than it was 17 years ago. No question about that.
So that's really at the heart of it. That's the Baltimore positive part, that when they do well and do right, when they do well and do right, they're making money even when they do poorly and do wrong.
It's true.
The Orioles have done a lot of poor and a lot of wrong, and they've made money. But the greater good is there's 4,000 people on an 80-degree night down at the ballpark. And that's not good. That's not
good. They have left a lot more money on the table than Lamar Jackson has.
I'm here to help them. I've been here to help them for 31 years. They can see it as constructive criticism. You know what I mean? Like, literally, I feel like that's what I've been the whole time. I don't think I've been unfair ever. And, you know, so from Mike Elias, I've had more conversations with Mike Elias this week, with the Orioles this week, than the Ravens. So go figure that out.
With that, we'll take our next break here. There he goes, Nestor J. Aparicio, 1570 AM, WNSTV, back right after this.